Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Patreon podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Doing a little potpourri show today. With the holiday this week and it being down to week 16, not a ton to really focus on in terms of like snap reactions or anything. Do a quick rundown here of some of the injury stuff, just so that way you have a little bit of a gauge here for what's going to happen, or you know, any injuries, situations to monitor, anything like that here heading into the week. So I think the big one is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Certainly from a one injury away perspective, Le'Veon Bell is pretty interesting. So that would be one situation I'd definitely watch. Obviously, you know, we're probably not huge in on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It doesn't look like it's anything serious, high ankle sprain. So that would be the situation. Obviously, we're watching McCaffrey as well. Questionable for this week. He wants to return is the report, but we'll need to watch and see there. Similarly, Julio Jones got a platelet-rich plasma injection to try and help his hamstring. You know, we'll see with that. There's no real incentive for him to rush it back. Michael Thomas obviously out. And Ezekiel Elliott with the calf contusion. It was a surprise miss in week 15. So Antonio Gibson definitely on the watch perspective there going here forward. If Elliott's out, Gibson certainly lineup relevant for sure. Looks like Antonio Gibson also has a I think I said Pollard. Pollard definitely I think I accidentally misspoke. Pollard certainly a play if Elliott is out. Antonio Gibson from the Washington football team is dealing with some turf toe stuff. Again, not a huge incentive to rush these guys back. So we'll see. Although he does have some playoff viability here. So that would be a situation to watch. Obviously, we're watching a quarterback situation there. Hopefully, Alex Smith is back. And Dwayne Haskins continues to be a knucklehead. Josh Jacobs had what looked like a knee injury and came back, was effective in week 15, so no real problems there. Diggs has a foot injury, he's probable for this week, and it looks like it was stepped on, so nothing big there. A little concern, nothing big. James Robinson, it looks like it's a high ankle sprain, so that'll be a situation to monitor there. Not sure there's a clear one injury way guy. Maybe Divino Zigbo, but not sure if you could plan that in week 16. Like I said, Edwards-Helaire before, he's got the hip injury. So hopefully it looked like it was like hip, ankle. It was kind of a weird thing that happened with his injury there. I wasn't exactly sure what happened with it. Looks like it's a hip. But it was pretty scary. And they basically like hobbled him off the field. It wasn't pretty. So, Raheem Mostert back to IR with the high ankle sprain. He's going to be an interesting one in the off season. Kittle, looks like he could be back. It's possible he plays in week 16. He's been activated from the, IR there. So, you know, we'll monitor that. Same with John Brown, same with Julian Edelman. So those guys, you know, I'm not sure how good you feel about playing any of those guys coming back, but they are lineup options. Olsen, also a lineup option. He is returning from that plantar fascia rupture, which does not sound great. So, yeah, those are really the big ones there. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably a 2021 return as well. Ronald Jones is probably the other interesting one. He had this finger thing, and then it looks like he landed on the COVID list. Not certain about if it's close contact or if he's actually positive. So monitor that. That's definitely a new situation to monitor. I think Fournette can certainly be near lineups as well if Ronald Jones is out. But again, if Ronald Jones was on COVID, just be careful with that conditioning stuff. That would be my thought there. Questionable for James Conner this week with the quad injury. Eric Ebron's a back injury, so questionable here for him. Just be on the monitor for him. Those are the big guys there. It looks like Kenny Galladay's doubtful as well. Debo's out. Those are the main ones that are really out and injured. So just be on the lookout for that. I'll have to run down the exact numbers. I think I'm at five or six finals planned for. So a decent percentage, nothing huge. I mean, I usually grade these on teams not in year one. Anything in year one's gravy, typically for me. I scored like 187 points and lost in a year one. I had Josh Allen on the, you know, in the early game slot there, and I thought it was golden. And I benched Giovanni Bernard in favor of Juju Smith-Schuster and T. Higgins. There was one other guy too, Wayne Gallman maybe. Again, I think the process was right. He got benched in the prior week. Like, how did I feel good about playing that on the road? And playing that against Pittsburgh, like it was a home game for them, but you know, they were a huge underdog. Like, I just couldn't feel great about that, and lo and behold, like, I was wrong. So that stuff happens. We'll learn from it and move on. So that actually lost me a couple games. So again, I don't fault the process. I think the process and the thought rationale was right. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And there's that famous picture of Danny Green taking a three from the top of the key in the last year's NBA Finals. LeBron James worked him wide open, drew like a triple team. The whole defense collapsed, gets a wide open look for Danny Green to win the NBA championship, and Danny Green just missed a shot. And that's one of those things, like, everything can go right, and you can do everything right, and it just sometimes doesn't work out. And that was kind of the spot there. I think I went like I won 40% of my games. So again, a little bit of bad puck luck, but again, it's totally within the range of outcomes. It's a lot of it's randomness in terms of who you're against and all that stuff. So so that's really what the status is here. Again, I'm going to be ramping up. I'm actually, as I sort of begin this Dynasty Daily, again, if you're a patron and you have not gone over to the Analytics of Dynasty website, do so. Get yourself signed up for the podcast, for the, you know, do the full subscription. If you know, it'll get you the book, it'll get you in the group me chat and all the podcasts, and you can use the code 2021 to get $20 off that, so it'd be 180. That's the cost of all of that together would be 270 for the year under the Patreon thing. So it's a third off of all of that, and it it'll help support the growth of this Analytics of Dynasty podcast and the written content. I'll tell you, I'm actually gonna kind of zig while everyone's zagging. And one thing I actually picked this up listening to a podcast this week. It was Trent Dilfer was actually discussing some quarterback stuff, and it's one other thing you're going to talk about here. Trent Dilfer was talking some quarterback stuff, and he basically said, you know, listen, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, like, teams aren't even working on these guys yet. Like, they're trying to, like, survive. You know, that wasn't even really an exaggeration. Just, like, keep everyone safe and you know, actually survive this COVID stuff. And they're not working on teams. They're not working on college guys. Like, they're just not. And so, you know, that'll be in the off season, but that's just not now. And they certainly don't have time for it this year, was sort of his premise. And I agree with that. And so one of the things I would just keep in mind, pay attention to, is that some of the information we're getting right now isn't really what teams are thinking. So if there's, you know, all this narrative and stuff in the media, like, I think it's helpful and maybe some instructive, but I wouldn't take it as gospel. And one of the things Trent Dilfer said is Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are a lot closer than people think. So he says it's he seemed to indicate that Trevor Lawrence was going to be the pick, but he goes, by the time the actual draft gets here, it could be 1A, 1B. So I would just, you know, that would be something I would just be mindful of as a process point. How that's changing my process? I'm going to zig while everyone's zagging. And I think so much of what we do is hunt draft position and those sorts of things. I actually think there's a ton of value right now understanding veterans, understanding, you know, where they're at in their career arcs, because there's going to be buy opportunities, especially leveraging off of startup or leveraging off of rookie valuations, you know, move guys. So I'm going to spend some time and I'm going to, you know, I want to look at some of the free agency stuff. I think that's pretty helpful. Do a depth chart breakdown by breakdown. But I do want to look at some of these vets and get a good idea of, you know, where we're at with them, right? What, you know, who we like in terms of values, you know, look at some of the stats, break down some of the efficiency stuff. What are we looking at regression? What are we looking at, like, strengths? You know, those sorts of things. And the reason for that is I think everyone spends so much time focusing on rookies, and rightly so, but so much of rookies ends up becoming draft position, right? It ends up becoming pedigree. And so if we sort of have a really good grounding of, hey, here are the vets, sort of here are the situations we like here's ways to pivot, sort of identify those now, you know, get in some startup draft mode, do some of that stuff now. And as the rookie draft season works itself out, you know, we'll ramp up the content there. But I do think spending, you know, digesting, and you get so much week to week with the season, actually spending some time digesting what just happened, you know, identifying some situations going forward. What do we think for progression? What, you know, what did players do poorly? You know, what, you know, some of the receiving stuff, yards per route run, like, let's really get a good understanding of that. You know, look at some career arcs, you know, break players down. I'm going to rework some of the ways that tiers are done. So, you know, put it into some more like, vernacular. So, you know, what I feel comfortable with type of stuff. So, you know, do that stuff, get really grounded on that, hit some startup drafts, obviously work on rookies as it's going along, but I don't want to go into this big 5-month rookie draft bender. And I think we lose a little bit of the, you know, the amount of guys that are going to be super fantasy relevant is not that big. And there's so many more other fantasy relevant guys that we can spend time on. I think there's actually some leverage there that we can exert. So I'm going to do a lot of that stuff. And again, I think quarterbacks are really interesting, and you know, all these positions and just different ways to look at some stuff. So I'm really excited about it. So really, really excited about what's going to happen here. So it's kind of going to be the arc. One thing I will say is I was looking at sort of being mindful of the, the Trent Dilfer discussion there, really on quarterback ordering. And I just went back and I pulled the first round quarterbacks in the NFL draft since 2008. Just want to sort of run down some of these guys. So 2019, we had Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and Daniel Jones. That was the ordering. And this is start one ordering, so it might have been a little bit different in Superflex. Like, I think Lamar Jackson wasn't quarterback two. He might have been a little bit later in Superflex. So there's a little bit of difference, but I just don't have enough reliable data that I actually trust. So, you know, it's just a thought there in terms of that. I don't trust the Superflex rookie data. I trust the startup stuff, but not the rookie draft stuff, because it's there's just some things in it that don't, like, ring true to me. So I'm not really using that stuff yet. Maybe if we get some better data going back, but I just don't have a good feel for that. So I'm using all the ordering stuff from start one data. I think it's largely true. So, all right, going back here. So Kyler Murray, I think that was the right answer in 2019. So that's certainly one. He was 101. He was drafted in first round of start one. So he was the 101 in super flex. So Murray's right. You know, that's the right answer. I'd say, I think Jones and Haskins was the wrong ordering there. Especially it was a round difference in start one. So that's a, you know, that's a handful of picks there, even in super flex. So I think I think Murray's right, and then the other guys were wrong, were improperly ordered. You look at 2018, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. So it was that was the order of the first round guys. It's absolutely Josh Allen's the wrong answer at five in that group. I think Baker Mayfield was the proper decision. Again, the first round pedigree, the first overall pedigree, I like that. Well, I think if you were to redraft it now, you wouldn't put him there. So, and his profile was pretty good too, right? So that was one thing that it was a really good profile and the pedigree was good. So I think he warranted going up that high, but now you look and like, it's pretty clearly he's at best the third, you know, the third guy. I think he's comfortably the third guy. So the answer to him is no, he didn't end up being the right one. In 2017, the market actually faded Trubisky pretty significantly. He was 30 overall. Watson was 19.9. Again, this is start one. And Mahomes was 26.5. So that's the wrong answer as well. It should have been Mahomes. I don't think that's a super comfortable one, right? That's not one that I think the market hugely missed on, because it was, you know, pretty – Watson was going later there. So – but it, that is a miss. We go back to 2016. I wouldn't say it was like super consensus either. Carson Wentz was actually pretty close to Paxton Lynch. They were both at the late part of the second round. So was Goff. So they were within like five picks of each other. So I just say like that's, there wasn't a clear consensus one. Goff was the first one to go off. I think that's the right answer. But again, I don't feel super strongly about it. You could take Wentz and make the argument that he's been better to date. Going back, Winston was, I think, certainly the right answer. He was the quarterback one there. Again, how great do you feel about it? You know, it was good, but I don't think it was, you know, it's not transcendent or anything like that. Which I think is a trend with these things. So that's just, you know, that's a continuing trend here. You go back to 2014, Johnny Manziel was the lead guy by basically a round. He was certainly the wrong answer. Again, from a pedigree perspective, that was the, you know, it was outside the top 10. And Bortles was a leverage there. Again, maybe Teddy Bridgewater. Jimmy Garoppolo is also in that class. It's certainly Manziel is certainly not the right answer. It's probably Blake Bortles. I mean, again, there's a lot of misses, right? So that's one I think that's, you know, there's not much there. 2013, you go back, and that was the EJ Manuel year. So that's after the big class in 2012. So EJ Manuel, again, just running down the list of these guys. Matt Barkley's in that class, Mike Glennon, Geno Smith. Again, so whatever the best one was, it wasn't very good. I don't think EJ Manuel, anyone was like sort of on that, but he was the, is being like transcendent or anything like that, but he was the lead guy. I think if you're going to take a guy to say, hey, who's the best one in this class, it's probably like Geno Smith or Mike Glennon in terms of best careers. I don't know. No one is probably the answer, but that's, you know, that's that. And EJ Manuel was the best in the class by, you know, about four or five picks. So Geno Smith is pretty close to him. But again, another non-top 10 guy. So I think that's a notable trend there. You go back to 2012, and this is really what made me think of some of this stuff. 2012, like Luck was the consensus guy coming into the draft. I have Robert Griffin actually ahead of him by a tenth of a spot. So Robert Griffin was 3.9, highest quarterback in one PPR, and one quarterback since I have data. Andrew Luck was at 4 overall in rookie drafts. So it's certainly not Robert Griffin. It's actually not Andrew Luck either. It's Russell Wilson. You know, Ryan Tannehill is another top 10 guy in that class. That's an arbitrage opportunity by almost over a round and a half in terms of ADP stuff. So that's one of those notable lessons that we need to go back and look at. So that's, you know, that's a situation where it's absolutely Russell Wilson. So, and not Andrew Luck or RG3. So you can take both of those guys and it's just a no, it's Russell Wilson. And maybe Tannehill, ultimately. We'll have to look and see there. 2011 was the Cam Newton year. And he was pretty consensus the guy in that class. Blaine Gabbert went also in the second round of rookie drafts. Cam Newton was right at the top, 13.8 overall, and Blaine Gabbert 21.8, so 8 spots there. Kaepernick went in the third round. Dalton went in the third round as well. So it was actually not a horrible class. Some of the guys that went up at the top weren't great. I mean, it was Newton, and then it was Locker, Ponder, Gabbert. But then you sort of filled it out like Kaepernick and Dalton had serviceable careers, although a little bit less dense than you might hope for. But I do think Cam Newton, that class, was the right answer at the first quarterback. You go back to 2010. That was the Sam Bradford year. Tim Tebow is also in that class. Jimmy Clausen is actually in that class as well. So it is Sam Bradford as being the guy. Yes, you know, he's the guy. That was certainly the right answer. Matthew Stafford, it was a late first round pick. So was Mark Sanchez in 2019. They both snuck into the back half of the first round. Stafford went just ahead of him, you know, fractionally. So we'll give Stafford the nod in terms of being the guy there. But again, it's not consensus wise. But Stafford did become the better guy. He was the he's the right answer. And then back to when I have data, it's 2018, and I have Matt Ryan as being the guy there. Joe Flacco was just behind him in terms of some of the ADP by about 8 picks. So Ryan's the right answer. So you go back and look at this, and I think it's interesting because, like, how good do you feel? So Baker, like, so we go back. All right, we'll start at the beginning. So in 08, Ryan, like, that you feel really good about his career arc. That one you feel pretty good about. Stafford, I think you feel pretty good about that too. So two really successful overall picks. Again, not transcendent, but two really good overall picks. Bradford, a lot of it's injuries. Like, I think he was actually pretty good. Injuries, that was a problem. Newton, you know, there was an MVP season in there. There was a huge start to his career. That was a big uptick. So that was a pretty successful pick, I would say. Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin III ended up being a train wreck, although you got a lot out of him early on. So some of the value stuff's there for him. But in terms of longevity, like, not so much. You know, Andrew Luck, obviously the early retirement, some of the injury stuff. He never lived up to his promise either. Like, people were like, he's the next coming of, you know, John Elway. That just really was never the case. Like, the numbers there weren't really as good as people thought. EJ Manuel, no, that was a bad one. Johnny Manziel, that was a bad one as well. You know, Winston, again, how do you feel about that? It's what, 5-6 years later, and doesn't have a job. So you feel like it was a successful rookie contract, but, you know, the longevity. Goff, you know, I think we're up in the air on about where he's at. I think it's certainly a successful pick, but, you know, how transcendent is he? Not really. You know, he's what, in the teens and ADP? I mean, that's a question. Watson was, again, not the best in his class, but ends up being pretty good. So that actually works out. Like, that's probably one of the best ones, honestly. Even though you sort of lost out on Mahomes, you got a really, really good player, cornerstone guy in Watson. Baker's kind of also ran at this point. I mean, he's, you know, he's good. He's coming on, I guess. But the third in his class, like, that doesn't feel good now that you're watching him be surpassed by Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. And then we have Kyler Murray, right? So, and then, you know, we'll see with Joe Burrow. So I guess the overall takeaway from this is like the guys that have been huge impacts. I mean, it's less than half of them, right? I mean, Baker, I wouldn't say, is a huge impact. You know, Murray, we'll see, he's kind of on that track. Watson's, yes. Goff's, you know, middling. Winston at this point's middling. Manziel was a train wreck. EJ Manuel, train wreck. Luck and RG3 were middling. And again, you missed out on Wilson. Not that you were going to take him that high, but, you know, it wasn't a huge success. I mean, Newton was good, but again, this is the longevity issue. Bradford was good, another longevity issue. Stafford and Ryan. So when you sort of go back and look at this, it's a, not all of them, not the consensus guys weren't, you know, didn't become great. And even some of the guys that did become like really good, Watson, for example, like he wasn't even a consensus, like one overall. So when you go back and look at just the guys that went one, I mean, it's Baker, it's Goff, it's Winston, it's Luck, Newton, Bradford, Stafford, and Ryan, right? So I think ultimately like Stafford and Ryan and Newton are the guys there. And then it's just, there's not, and actually Ryan didn't even go, he actually went three, right? So that's the trick to some of these things is just, I don't know. I the whole idea that something's consensus and it's a sort of foregone conclusion he's going to be great. You know, I was listening to Dilfer and he's like, he's basically a one read guy, and not that that's a, or a two read guy, like a one side of the field guy. That doesn't make me feel great, right? He said Justin Fields is actually better at sort of scanning across the field. He's really grown. He said this past week was bad, but, or not as good, but he's been, you know, he's actually shown significant growth. And not that Lawrence can't pick that up, but I think it's the foreground conclusionness of it's pretty interesting. When you sort of go back and look at some of these guys, I mean, really the number one guys are Stafford, Bradford, Newton, Luck, Winston, Goff, Mayfield, and Kyler. So when you just look at the number one guys, right, those are consensus number one NFL draft picks. The best one's Stafford and Newton. None of those guys are in the top 10 now, you know, and Stafford was there for a while, but yeah, it's a, I would just say, and Kyler is, but I mean, it's a, the whole, we're going to crown Trevor Lawrence. That's a lot of my concern. So when you sort of look in, you know, and I'm debating a guy like, where do you put Josh Allen, right? Where does he rank? And I think, you know, the more I look at some of this stuff, again, the sample size isn't huge, but I think you have to take him over Lawrence, right? I think it'd be malpractice not to. You sort of know what the NFL transition has looked like. And is it perfect? No. But is it a lot better than we thought it was? Yeah. Again, is that who he is for the rest of his career? Is he, I mean, this is, if he does this for 10 years, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Is that who he is? Probably not. Would be my guess, but it looks like he's going to be a well above average fantasy quarterback, well above average NFL quarterback. You know, we're just going to give that with some of the priors on these first round guys. Again, Luck's the one that's interesting because, you know, Luck, so his trajectory there was quarterback 10, 7, 1, 28, 4. Then he missed and he was four, right? So he missed a season there. Right, like that's good, but that's not, you know, that's not transcendent, right? Newton's actually 5, 6, 5, 17, and 1. And he went 19 and 5, his finishes through his first 7 years. Like that's probably the best. And again, you're sort of sitting here. It's 10. You got 10 years out of that, so that's pretty good. But it's just the idea that we're going to anoint him as being the guy, especially with how good the quarterback class is. Right, it's going to be tough to get like into the top 10, right? And that might not have been as true in prior years, but it is going to be like the top 10 is really good at quarterback, and especially even if you're not just talking about startup guys, right? Like if, for example, like Rodgers were to fall in ADP, I don't think he should, but like, you know, for some reason he falls out, like, you know, quarterback 11, 12, something like that, it's going to be tough to get over. Like, are you going to bet against Ryan Tannehill being like a top 10 to 12, 14 guy? Like, again, you sort of look at these guys, even some of them that aren't super high in draft valuation, they're might hang around like that top 10, 12 threshold. And it's just going to make it tougher for Lawrence to really get up and make a big difference. Can he? Sure. But I just, it's taking these guys as high and anointing them has historically not been super successful. So one of the things that I've found too in my research that it'll come out in the book is when you look at guys in the top 10 of the NFL draft at quarterback, there's no significance in terms of ADP, nor is there in terms of the ordering in which they went in the top 10, right? So if they went first versus like 10th, is how significant is that? There's no statistical significance to that. So what's that mean, right? Like that means that trading up or, you know, taking one of these guys that way up at the top where there's three or four other top 10 guys, right? Like that hasn't been a historically successful thing. And when you look at some of these, like you can see why, right? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of misrate and, you know, it's a tough transition. So that's really a situation that I'm watching. And again, if that opens up, so it's more, so if it's like Zach Wilson, the kid out of BYU, or like Trey Lance, I haven't even watched these guys or studied them at all. Just to know their names and, you know, just to the idea of where they're going in terms of some of the mock drafts and that sort of stuff. But if there's going to be like three or four of these guys, like, man, it's the odds that it's actually Trevor Lawrence are, you know, he's probably the most likely outcome. But the odds that it's, you know, him over 50%, I'm not sure. I don't think that's true, that he's the best one. And you know, if you could snag two of them, for example, against the Trevor Lawrence, say, I'll take my chances on the randomness, that's, yeah. And I think that might be doable with how much people are talking up Trevor Lawrence. So, so that's the thing. So if I were to sort of be getting into trades and that sort of stuff, like I think getting a two is pretty interesting. Like getting a one is going to be really tough. But if you can get to two, right, move up to slide up to two, get from three to two or, you know, something like that. I think that's actually pretty interesting. So I have 1-3 in a league. It's actually my highest buy-in league. Kind of went off the rails for me, some injuries, and now here I am. I traded for what ended up being the 101, and I slid in at 103. And so I got a lot of flexibility there. I might even see if I can move up to two. So I get them both, and then I got all the leverage. Because then I can move off a one pretty comfortably and still get a guy and sort of execute the strategy. So yeah, that's kind of the potpourri show for this, and I figured I'd give you a little content. Again, it's the snap reactions at this point. I mean, Cole Kmet really is the big one. I mean, I'm loving Cole Kmet. A couple of addition guys that I would sort of do. I did Chad Parsons and I, my football guys, co-host. We do on his site, a little running back roundup thing, and just a couple of names that came up in that I would just peruse for. Just make sure Gus Edwards is rostered. Rashad Penny should be rostered as well. I guess it's conceivable he's out there in some shallower leagues. I would scoop up Damian Williams, too. He's under contract, and Le'Veon Bell's a free agent, so that's one. And Buddy Howell out of Houston, I think it's unlikely that he's relevant. I'll just say that. But you could cut Duke Johnson. You could cut David Johnson. They're probably going to do both of those. Like, if they sort of go into a deep rebuild, that could actually be a scenario where like his name is relevant at least. So that would be something I would monitor there. If Andrew Luck's out there in Superflex, like, yep, scoop him. And the other one too is Josh Rosen, picked up by San Francisco. Again, that's probably nothing, but if there's a 5% shot that he's a starting quarterback in a Kyle Shanahan offense and at some point, that's that's it's worth the roster addition there. So that would be my thought there. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, if you're not signed up, go ahead and get signed up over at analystdynasty.com. You can do get the full package there with the book and the Patreon stuff. Again, use the promo code 2021 or Patreon too. Patreon is also a code for that. You get $20 off of it, and it's basically a third of the entire what you would pay on Patreon. So I'm gonna probably continue posting some of the stuff on Patreon as we sort of transition to the main site. I'll probably do that for the month of January. We'll see after that. But as we sort of trickle on over there, I do want to make it the exclusive home for Analytics of Dynasty content. So analyticsdynasty.com, and go ahead and sign up for it, and you'll get a private podcast feed and that whole thing. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, have a happy holiday. I'm excited to get back. I have some ideas for some content stuff. Some live shows I'm pretty excited for. So yeah, we'll get cranking on that in the off season here. So, all right. Well, until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.